This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word is from Psalm 19. I know it was only 14 verses, but when I was a little boy, I had a hard time paying attention. So before we have the children's devotion, children, I want you to listen again. This is for the children's devotion. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, much more than pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. And I'll invite the children to come up here for a brief children's devotion. Good morning. Morning, how you doing? You doing good? I didn't shake your hand this morning. Morning. Good morning to you. Do you like this morning? Good morning. Yes. Do you like this morning? Yes, I have no problem waking up. Sunshine's on. Oh, that's good fun. All right, in here is something to help us remember about what the Bible's talking about. What's the problem? You want to go sit down there? You want to sit over there or do you want to sit here? Yes, see, Grandma, you try to get away. See? Yeah. All right, in here is something to help you understand what the psalm says. The psalm was talking about something being really, really fun and exciting and tasty and just so cool to be with. And in here is something for that. I'll tell you what's in here.
Balloons.
Balloons. See the balloons? I love balloons. I love it when it, okay? Here's a balloon I want to show you. Here's a balloon, all right? Watch out, right? So this is a balloon. A balloon is fun. But what's something that's kind of bad about balloons?
They make noise.
They pop. They make noise. When you go like this, they make noise. And what else happens when they pop?
When I pop,
boom, yeah, boom. Sometimes if there's a little baby in the room, what do the little babies do when they hear the balloon pop?
Cry.
Yeah, why do they cry?
It's
really loud and it scares them. Now, did you know that sometimes, even when you are your age, sometimes when balloons pop, some children cry. Why would some children cry even if they're not afraid of the balloons popping?
Because if their balloon, they don't want it to pop.
I don't want my balloon to pop. Thank you, Andy. Thank you so much. He doesn't want my balloon to pop because if my balloon pops, I don't have any more balloons. And it'll be sad.
I have a whole bunch in there.
How cool is that? I want to share something with you. I wanted to teach my children when they were little. I wanted to teach them how not to be afraid of balloon popping and how to be, it's okay because balloons are just balloons, you know, they'll come and go again. So I would come and I'd have a balloon and I would pop it, and, whoops, and then I'd give them another balloon. I'd pop it and give them another balloon because I wanted them to know that just because a balloon pops, it doesn't mean it's all bad. It just happens. It just pops. It doesn't last. Balloons don't last. God says he has something that is just as much fun as balloons, but they don't pop. And that's in his Bible. His Bible tells us that in heaven, there's going to be balloons that don't pop. In heaven, you're going to be playing around with balloons, and you don't have to worry about a single balloon popping all the time. And if they pop, there'll be two more, three more, whatever. You never have to worry about that. You know why? Because God wants you to be in heaven with him. And God says nothing bad is allowed in heaven. So if you're scared of balloons popping, no balloons going to pop. If you're sad because of no balloons popping, your balloons will not pop. There will be plenty of balloons for you to play with. The cool thing is that Jesus did all of that. He took away all of your sins and all of my sins on a cross. Because right now, on this side of heaven, before I get to heaven, sometimes I can't play with balloons. Like, I can't really play balloons in church when I'm supposed to be listening to God's word. I can't really play balloons in the car. But guess what? In heaven, I can play balloons all the time. God's word is kind of like that. He says his word is going to continue on and on and on and on. It's like a game that never ends. It's like a fun party that you never have to go home from. It's so cool. And he wants you to know that. He took away all your sins. He died, came back to life again, and he says, guess what? I want you to have that joy all the time. So he wrote it all down in his Bible. So now that's the last step to remember. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you each a balloon. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to make sure that you give the balloons to your mom and dad. Okay, I don't want you to take them for yourself, because sometimes little children will eat the balloon and that will hurt them. Okay? So I'm going to give you two balloons. And one is for you and one's for a friend. And then I want you to take it and give it to your mom and dad. And then when you get back home, you can say, I know all about balloons. Balloons remind me that God's word makes sure that I know all about the good things waiting for me in heaven, where there's things like balloons that don't even pop. Ha, how cool is that? Let's talk to Jesus in prayer, okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for taking my sins away. Help me to remember that your word is more fun even than a ton of balloons. Amen. Okay. I'm going to give you two balloons, and then, whoops, as soon as you get your balloons, you can go to your seat. Make sure you give them to your mom and dad. Here's your two. Here's your two, sir. Here's your two. There you go. A tray. There you are. You're welcome. That was very kind. Here you go. Here you go. Here's your two. There you go. There you go. Thank you. Here. She almost gets two. Thank you, Becca. Today we're looking at the potter and the clay, but I want you to start off by looking at this. See if I can show it to you here again. Oh, we don't want to listen to music because that will definitely distract you. Or maybe we'll have to listen to it anyway. There we are. We're looking at Psalm 19, which is broken up into two parts. So while you're looking at this again, I just want to tell you the two parts it's broken up into. Psalm 19 tells you that God wrote two books. One book is creation. Another book is the Scriptures. And Psalm 19 teaches us that both books are useful and you can benefit from both books, but the book that's going to last forever is the book of His Holy Scriptures. Now, this is magnificent. If I wasn't going to be a pastor, I was going to be an astronomer. It's one of those things. I loved what God did out when He created everything and made the sun, moon, and stars. One little verse lets us know all this stuff happened, just like that. How awesome is that? It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises from one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other, and nothing is hidden from its heat. That's how the Lord describes this thing called creation. He starts off describing the second book this way: the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. What I want to look at on my part of this sermon is that last little section where it says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The Lord teaches us how to eternally benefit from these books. The Lord, my rock and my redeemer. the Lord. He uses his personal name. That means the God of grace and mercy, the God who loves to forgive, the God who loves to wash us clean of all of our sin and guilt, the God who loves us. The Lord, who also cannot stand sin. Sin has to be dealt with and dealt with forcefully. The Lord, who came himself, made himself one of us, took our nature into himself, and took up all of our sins and paid for them on a cross with his lifeblood. That's the Lord. It says, the Lord, my rock and my redeemer, my rock. God does not change. People change. The sun changes. The weather changes. Fashion changes. Music changes. Everything changes. People don't like change, and that's the only thing you can count on other than the Lord, who is our rock. You know, as we go throughout this whole year, we're going to be doing a couple different things. As a congregation, we're going to be looking at different translations of God's word. And that's always nerve-wracking for God's people because they wonder, well, I don't want anything in God's word to be lost. That's good. We're also going to be looking at different hymns in preparation for our 25th year next year. And how people, when they went to God's word, God gave them an idea and they wrote down a hymn to focus God's people to praise God in one particular area, to teach them about one particular aspect of our Lord. And all of this has to do with how God does not change from generation to generation. My great-grandpa spoke German, did not understand a word of English. My other great-great-grandpa spoke Swedish, didn't understand a word of German or English. I don't know what's going to be when I have great-great-grandchildren. Maybe they won't understand anything other than Spanish, or I have no idea. I don't know what God has in mind for the plan of the earth and the plan of nations as they rise and fall and are blessed. I have no idea what that is, but I do know that God does not change. The God who loved me when I was a little boy loves me now. The God who was incredibly in love with Adam and Eve is incredibly in love with you. He is the rock who does not change. The God who gave wisdom to Solomon says, ask me for wisdom and it's yours. The God who took care of David when he went out against Goliath. This God says to us, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow. Each day is enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will worry about itself. How in the world can we live remembering that Jesus is the rock? I love how this ends. It says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Redeemer is kind of cool. It's a word we use a lot. Redeemer is a word that crushes you and lifts you up at the same time. When we were going through the Bible several weeks ago, we had to just glance through the book of Ruth. We talked about the Redeemer. A Redeemer, when I say to Lord, you are my Redeemer, that means I at one time am admitting to you publicly, Lord, I was not part of your family. I was out. I had no inheritance with you at all. But you are my Redeemer. You came and you redeemed me and you on purpose, willfully adopted me into your family. And now my inheritance is in heaven. And I'm looking forward to that day, Lord. And until that day, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts, the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your eyes. Because you're the one, Lord, now that I want to please with my whole life. Last Sunday, we started looking at that as we looked at the potter and the clay, how the Lord forms us to take care of us, to carry out his will. And today, please again, give your attention to Mr. Timmerman as he gives us part two of that.
Good morning. I am Jim Timmerman, the Vice President of the Congregation. Again, on behalf of the Council, we would like to spend a bit of time, again this Sunday, talking to you about Christian living. We find it ever so important for the congregation that we have to be blessed and to work right and to shine brightly in the community that we're in, that we'd like to give the word that Pastor talks to us about every Sunday in a little different way. We've used the theme, the potter and the clay. Last week, we talked about the gifts that God gave us, the gifts and talents, how to use them for His glory. Today, we're going to talk about, money. Okay, but never fear, the Council is not looking for more money from you. In fact, the Council is eternally blessed with the congregation, the family that we have here at Good Shepherd. You have supported the missions of the congregation, the work of our church here in Saratoga since the inception of this congregation, and we are blessed with that. But as we get closer to the end of times, it is ever so more important that we build each other up, that we encourage each other in God's Word, and this is one way to do it, is to focus on Christian living and to make sure that every one of our church family has a very deep understanding of what Christian living means. So we will be taking a look at that this morning. We are not going to be talking again about salvation, which we know is from Jesus Christ alone. It is a gift of God. It is not by works. But sometimes we may be thinking that works then aren't important. We'd like to make sure that our congregation understands that that is not true. What we do in this life is very much a reflection of where God is in our hearts. And we want to make sure that that is on our minds every day in all that we do. I would invite you to take a look in your worship folders for a handout that looks like this, that contains the details of the presentation this morning and what we will be talking about. In case you're not familiar with it, the picture that's on that handout is what we call the Terracotta Warriors. These are clay warriors, clay people that are buried someplace in China. They were unearthed recently. They went into the grave with an emperor to accompany him in the afterlife. This is clay that is not alive, unlike us, which are clay that is alive. And the Scriptures uses clay and living clay as an illustration of our lives in Christ. So we will use that this morning again to focus on our Christian living. From Isaiah 45, verse 9, "Woe to him who quarrels with his maker. Does the clay say to the potter, 'What are you making?' Does the work say, 'He has no hands?' Certainly not. As God's clay, we love to look to our potter and to understand what he wants for our lives. God is the potter. We are the clay." Okay, so this is an illustration that we'd like to use and like to make sure that is embedded in our minds. Living the Christian life means that we submit to the will of our Creator, the Lord God. We are given a limited time, which we call a lifetime, to demonstrate our understanding of this by putting into practice the two most important lessons for Christian living, which Jesus himself tells us about. When asked what the most important commandments were, Jesus said in Matthew 22, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So there it is, Christian living in a nutshell, in two simple sentences. Love God, love your neighbor. What does that mean? Let's reinforce that again today. How do we love God? "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," he says in John 14. And I think I jumped over one, but that's okay. We'll review what loving God means in your handout. Love God more than anything else. Do not misuse God's name. Set a day of the week aside as holy. Honor those in authority. Do not murder. Be faithful to God and to your spouse. Do not steal. Do not say the wrong things about someone else. Do not want someone else's house, do not want what they have. And also in loving each other, what does God mean by that? We'll take a look at 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul is talking to the church in Corinth. He says, "Be patient and kind with each other. Do not envy, boast, or be proud, rude, or self-serving. Do not become easily angered or keep records of wrongs. Do not delight in evil, but rejoice in the truth. Always protect, always trust, always hope, always persevere. Never fail to do what is good for others. And so how do we practice these few things? There are about 10 things here, 20 things that the Lord gives us as commandments to guide our lives and what we do in our lives. So how do we make that practical? By developing the right habits. And we'll look at a few passages again this week that help us to focus on that. And the first one's up on our screen is Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So when it comes to the talents that you've been given, work at it with all your heart and focus on what the Lord has given you. Recognize his handiwork in your clay figure. Secondly, for our theme for today, which may be surprising, Deuteronomy 8:17, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. We talked about it last week. You did not make you at this point in time, in this place. Male, female, black, white, rich, poor, Asian, African, Latino, or a cheesehead born in Wisconsin, we said. You didn't decide that. God decided that. He put you here. He gave you what you had. He even gives you the ability to produce wealth. So use it to his glory and say thank you for everything that you do get. The third thing we focus on is the time that we have here on this earth, this lifetime that we talk about from James 4:13. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money, you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It puts things into perspective for our lives. Tomorrow is not for certain on this earth. Some of us live for a very short time. Some of us live for a very long time. In the Christian life, we focus again on what God wants for that life, and we seek to serve him in everything that we do and use our time wisely. Someday he will come again and take us to be with him. The bottom line to Christian living is this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So how do we look at the use of money management in our lives? If you flip a sheet over here, we have some interesting questions for you. Why is our giving important, and what are our gifts used for here at Good Shepherd? The council wanted to share these things with you again. Make sure that our family of believers is familiar with how your gifts are being used. Certainly the congregational budget, just running the church here, supporting pastors, supporting our school, are things that we need your contributions for and have been blessed with for many, many years. The work of the Synod, Good Shepherd is one of those congregations that has been faithful throughout the years in supporting our Synod, the work of the Synod worldwide in spreading the gospel. Youth events, Northland College, Builders for Christ, children's materials, Christian life resources, emergency funds, special projects around the church and elsewhere, Angel Tree, postage. These are all things that your giving is used for in ways that we can let our light shine. Does your giving reflect a faith that puts God first in our lives? The simple lesson is this. God directs us to give regularly in proportion to what he has given us. And that's where the council here at Good Shepherd leaves it. It's between you and your Lord. He asks for your first fruits. He asks for your regular giving. He asks for that to be in proportion to how he has blessed you, whether that be a lot or whether that be a little. The table here gives you an idea of what proportion means, what percentages are, based on some income numbers. That's between you again and your family and the Lord and your council. He sees the end result of where your faith is at and where your heart is at. We are certainly, again, grateful for everything that you do in supporting Good Shepherd and the congregation. In the end, this is what we would like to hear as we walk into heaven by God's grace through Jesus Christ. We want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." And that is a prayer that your council has for you, our family of believers. And may God dwell richly in your hearts as you live your lives for Christ. Thank you.